Flip, 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 Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Matt from FlipWeekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. This is a podcast all about reselling. We go to garage sales, we go to Facebook Marketplace, we go to thrift stores, op shops. We find stuff to resell for a profit. Now, look, I was away last weekend. I have to apologize. There was no podcast. The newsletter was lacking, and it might be lacking again this week. Man, my personal life honestly has just been insanely busy for the past, 7 to 8 days. And those days sort of overlapped with two issues of the newsletter and two issues of the podcast. But this week I have something really, really cool to tell you about. Now, it's different. It's not so much reselling, but it is something that I think you'll find very interesting. Like, look, Flip Weekly, it's a newsletter and podcast about making money flipping items from op shops, right? That's what it is. And I have talked a bit about my background before. Now, I usually do this when it's like a slow thrifting week, and that's what it's been like, okay? So back in issue number 62 of the newsletter, I talked about going viral and making an absurd amount of money, over $100,000 in a weekend when I was 23 years old. And then it was a couple of weeks later in issue 67 where I talked about getting sued by, or getting threatened by Apple as a 16-year-old when my business that was making a lot of money had to shut down because I was infringing on copyrights. But yeah, this week what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you another story, okay? I'm going to tell you about a website that I built when I was just 20 years old, okay? We're jumping back and forth in ages, but I was 20 years old and it was making me $20,000 per month, which is a lot of money for somebody that's only 20 years old, okay? I can tell you exactly what a 20-year-old does with that sort of money. I'm going to tell you about, the highs and the lows of having your business or your website put in front of millions of people, which it was. I can tell you about the end result of this website that was a family redrawing on their mortgage, yes, to buy the website. I was 20 years old and I was sitting across from people that were cutting me a check after just redrawing on their mortgage. I don't know what the proper terms are, but they were doing something that I think was risking their fucking house, okay? So if you're interested in hearing a bit about that, this is my life pre-flipping, then, stick around. If not, skip this episode and we'll go back to regular thrifting op shops marketplace next week. But I just want to get this out there. I want to talk about it whilst I don't have that much, thrifting content to talk about. So what I'm going to do, it's something that no internet marketer would ever agree to do, or what me as a prior internet marketer would ever dream of doing, and that is exposing my niche or exposing an area online that I was working in and was making me a lot of money. Now, albeit it was from 13 years ago, but it's still something that I would never thought I would be doing, okay? So back in 2012, I was 20 years old. It was a very, very long time ago. I barely remember it. It feels like a different life. Now, I was familiar with building websites, and for a lack of a better term, I had sort of mastered SEO, which is obviously search engine optimization. So at the time, it was like the best year for me financially. 20 years old, best year for me. I was running multiple websites and I was able to get a lot of them to like the first page of Google. And that, to be honest, is not an easy feat for a 20-year-old person. And, ranking in Google is not easy. The more competitive like the industry is, the more competitive the keyword is, the harder it is to get to the very top of Google. Just for example, think about a keyword for a second. Like, say you're a mom and pop takeaway shop and you want to show up on the first page of Google for like best takeaway Sydney, right? Do you think that would be easy? Because you're competing against every single fast food restaurant in Sydney, including places like McDonald's, right? The major multinational corporations with what seems to be unlimited funds, right? So it's extremely hard. And those corporations, their budget for things like marketing, which SEO would come, like would fit in, it would be honestly like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, it's not unusual for like a small business to have a SEO budget of like a couple of grand, right? So yeah, just imagine McDonald's being able to spend like triple that. I mean, not even triple that. Honestly, like times 100, they would honestly spend times 100. So that's really like your competition when it comes to SEO. It's your business or your website up against everybody else. And you know, it's not like sports where there's salary caps. You can only spend X amount on SEO. You can spend as much as you fucking want. Now, if you don't know much about SEO, all it is ranking in Google. When people search Google, you want to show up as one of the first few results so people click on your website. That's all that it is. And if you invest in it enough, you'll be able to get to the top, you'll get organic traffic, and you won't have to pay for any of those leads or any of those visitors. So that's why people want to have a good SEO presence, because eventually it can turn into free traffic and you can reap the rewards. Like, the rewards are great. So the thing is, though, SEO is a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. It's something I would tell everyone that would ever think about getting into like SEO as an industry or getting a business and wanting to rank in Google. You need to have a marathon mindset. If you think that you can jump in to running a business and getting a ranking in Google in like a month's time, if you want to invest in an SEO strategy, you need to be thinking like, okay, this is like a 12-month, 24-month process. I'm not even kidding, right? If you want to win, if you want to reap the rewards of being like the first result in Google, you have to think long term. Now, this is something that I've always been able to do for myself. It's like delaying gratification, right? Investing hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars now, so that I can reap the rewards later, tens of thousands later on, if not hundreds of thousands later on. But the thing is, most people suck at doing this. I'm not kidding. Most people suck at delaying gratification. It's why people talk about their goals and they love talking about their goals. They're happy to spew them because you get that dopamine hit from saying what you're going to be doing without ever having to do it. That's why when people tell me all about their ideas, I don't value them as much as that person in the corner that's keeping quiet, hustling and grinding, putting their head down and not spewing all of these like crazy ideas to the world. So it's really one of the main keys to success in SEO, in building websites and trying to get rankings, is that sort of perseverance, because most people quit. You don't need to outspend them. You just need to outlast them, right? And that is honestly, it's like just a fact. And I'm not trying to give you any sort of motivational bullshit. It's just a fact. So that's it. Yeah. Like, I legit think that I could dominate any singular niche, any singular industry that involves like having a website and ranking, simply because I feel like I can last longer and work harder than anybody else in that sort of industry. I don't have as much funds, no, but I think that I would be able to outrank them just based on the perseverance, even like the creativity that it comes to SEO, which I'll talk about later. But yeah, I always have my end goals in sight and I work towards them. So in terms of like the category that I was going to get into with this website, I would call it professionally social media marketing, right? But what I would basically do is help companies improve their social media presence. But in essence, really, what was it though? It was people just boosting their social metrics. So that meant that people would come to my website to buy things like Facebook likes, Twitter followers, YouTube subscribers, all that type of shit. Companies would come to me, they would come to my website, they would see that I offer these services. You could buy Facebook likes, and they would pay a lot of money. And honestly, my markup on this shit was insane. Now, I'm not going to leave you wanting. I will tell you what these markups were because I still have the fucking price lists on my computer. So for example, if you wanted to buy 1,000 Facebook likes, you would pay me, you would pay my website, my company, $105, and then I would pay my supplier $30. So that's a profit of $75, which is decent, right? Now, if you wanted 1,000 Twitter followers, you'd pay me $50. I'd pay my supplier $10. I'd keep the $40 profit. It's very, very simple, right? The more people that bought, the more I would make. And trust me, right? You wouldn't believe the companies and the people that were buying my shit. Remember, I was 20 years old. This was a long time ago. Now, I'm not going to say the company's names because eventually they all contacted me and told me to remove their logos from the website. But I had, how am I going to say this? I had an Australian hardware chain. Yes. I had electronic brands that made your favorite televisions. I had your favorite restaurants that made burritos all within Australia. They all called me as a supplier. They all came to me and was like, Matt, please help me get more Facebook likes. Please help me grow my YouTube, my Twitter, whatever. And I was happy to oblige because they were buying a lot. And when like the profit margin for like 1,000 Facebook likes is $75, you can just imagine when it goes up to say 50,000, Facebook likes, the profit margin just keeps going up and up and up. And I mean, it was good, right? So I was completely dominating this niche within Australia, 100% dominating. And it's why you're listening to Flip Weekly now, right? Because when I jump into an industry, I really want to set out to like dominate the niche, right? I lock on really, really hard. And it sounds sort of like egotistical, but in a way, it's just like an obsession. You know, I all of a sudden live and I breathe the industry. And the only logistical, logical, whatever answer is like to get to the top of it. So, I mean, when I think about this sort of industry that I'm in now, you know, Flip Weekly with thrift stores and op shops and just the flipping in general, I think, shit, did I choose a niche that's too small? Is my payoff at the end of this going to be quite low? But that's yet to be known. Let's just ignore that for now, but we'll move on, right? Because I was 20 years old. I'd basically grew up on the internet. And if you listen to the podcast before, you would know that I've had like some level of success and failure before this with my consumer electronics business. It crashed and burned. I switched from like physical products like MP3 players and USB drives to this now, like, well, that then, digital products. You know, the wholesale forums that I had visited before where I was importing MP3 players and USB drives, those sort of forums changed to like internet marketing forums. So of course I sort of went down that route. I went from learning how to like create a physical product into creating a digital one. So the forums I would visit, if anyone's familiar, back in the day, I would visit Wicked Fire, I would visit Black Hat Forums, anything about becoming a webmaster, anything about how to create websites, how to rank websites, anything about making money online, that's what I became obsessed with. And I mean, I learned a lot back then. I eventually would realize that like the services that were offered on these forums that people were trying to sell, they could be resold by me. Hence why this sort of leans into reselling a bit. I could resell those services onto other people that didn't do like the deep dives onto a forum called Black Hat World. People that got scared to visit something that's called Black Hat World, even though it's just like a not a scammy forum, but it's just like low quality shit. I mean, I could buy 1,000 Facebook likes from this guy on the forum for just $30, yet the people on the outside, you know, take a step back, the outer layer of the internet, they were happy to pay me $105. So it's really just like basic arbitrage, right? Like, it's just basic flipping. It's what we do now when we buy from a op shop and resell it on eBay. We're just buying from somewhere, reselling it somewhere else. And people would come to me and ask, like, oh, how are you doing this? Like, how are you getting these Facebook likes in the first place? And I would ask this supplier, and they told me that all of these Facebook likes were coming through advertising. So they said that it was coming from something called interstitial advertising. Now, for those unfamiliar, interstitial advertising, and I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, because I've never really told this before. No one I know is like into this sort of world. So it's one of those words where I've only said it in my head. But interstitial advertising, it works like this, right? You'd go to a website. Remember, this was years ago. This doesn't happen anymore. You'd go to a website, say website Z, and to get to website Z, you needed to click a link on a website A. So you click on a link on website A, and between going from like A to Z, a full page ad appeared before you went there, right? So the ad would be the user's or the customer's social media page, and the user has the option to either like the page, or they can just ignore it, right? That's what I was told. That's what I was told. Was it the actual truth? I don't know. Maybe we can go into that a bit later. But anyway, I set up my website, and I'm actually going to tell you what the website was. I'm going to tell you the domain name. You can Google it. You can probably find, I mean, you'll be able to find some stuff, okay? The website was called getwithsocial.com. I created the website. I created the order form. We were ready to fucking go. Now, my entire sales strategy, what would eventually make me money, was going to be to attempt to rank number one in Google for keywords like buy Facebook likes, things of that nature. Buy Facebook likes, buy Twitter followers, buy YouTube subscribers. If somebody typed in buy Facebook likes into Google, I wanted to be the number one website that they clicked on. Now, at the time, that wasn't going to be easy, because social media, whilst it wasn't new, there were social media marketing agencies that were popping up everywhere trying to get a slice of the pie. And they were dominating before I got in there, right? And that wasn't just in SEO, that was in pay-per-click marketing, which is where you pay to be like number one or number two in Google as a sponsored result. You probably see it if you Google specific terms right now. And I mean, people do that because if you create a brand new website, brand new company, and you want to get to number one in Google, it's not going to happen instantly, right? Like, you're going to be needing to promote it because Google doesn't see you as an authority. Google doesn't know who you are, so of course they're not going to put you number one in front of everyone else. In other words, you're untrustworthy. So that's why SEO is a marathon, because I would spend the next 12 months improving my SEO position. I would engage in like smart link building. I would forge like strong partnerships in order to get the website ranking high. And if you're not familiar with SEO and building links, just think of it like this. You start a brand new website. You want to get to number one. Google sees your website and it's like, well, who are you? Why should I put you as the number one result in Google? It doesn't know anything about you. Like, it doesn't know if you're trustworthy. You could be like full of shit, right? So what you need to do, you need to build your website as an authority. So that means creating a detailed website that helps users. It can't be thin. That's a term that we use in SEO, meaning a thin website with very little content. We want to give Google as much content on the website as possible. It needs to be able to know who you are. And then we need to make it an authority by getting links. Now, Google will see an authority website linking to us, and it would think, oh, this must be like a trustworthy website because I don't know, Wikipedia is linking to you, or a news article has been written about you linking to your website, so it must be a decent website, so you'd slowly start to improve your ranking. I hope that makes sense to you. So over the next like 12 months, I would do things like that. I would build out the website, I'd make it fat. I wouldn't want a thin website, I want a fat fucking website. I would also want backlinks to my site. And I was doing some smart link building. If you're familiar with SEO, I was doing some cool shit back in 2012. Like, I can't remember how many fucking Kickstarter projects that I backed in Australia just to get my website on their partner's page or all their thank you pages. And I mean, yes, I was doing this shit back in 2012, and that included things like Harrow links, like help a reporter out links. That included guest blogging, niche edits, all this sort of shit. So like, I've been subscribed to that sort of shit for the better part of a decade. And if you use those links today, you can thank me for popularizing them, because I swear to God, nobody was doing this shit back in 2012. Just continuing on with SEO for a second and how it relates to eBay, man, like, it's always interesting when you jump into like a different category or different industry and see how people talk about SEO, because eBay resellers, they're something different, man. It's honestly sort of embarrassing. It's very, very laughable. And there's so much shit. There's so much dribble that's coming out of people talking about eBay SEO. And to be honest, all it amounts to is like writing a title tag. Now, a title tag, which is like your eBay title tag. Like, eBay would borrow ranking factors from places like Google. Like, they would have to have some sort of crossover with engineers and people that work on that sort of shit, that there would have to be some sort of crossover, right? So if you just think of the weight that Google puts into a title tag, and then think of like how much weight then eBay would put into a title tag, like, I get that they're two different things, but man, the answer should be like fucking nothing, right? Like, you got a properly formatted title tag, like, great. It's like leaving the house with pants on. Like, you shouldn't get a pat on the back for doing that. I mean, it's expected. It's not going to improve your ranking. Like, I've yet to see anybody who talks about eBay SEO do a deep dive into any sort of ranking factors besides a title tag. Like, what about the eBay description? It's always forgotten by these people that talk about eBay SEO. And we all know Google loves original content. What about eBay? Like, you wouldn't leave a meta description blank, right? And if an eBay SEO reseller, or somebody talking about SEO that's a reseller, is like, what is that? Like, if they don't know what that is, then they don't know jack shit about SEO, and they really shouldn't be talking about it. I mean, what about like an experiment with the alt tags for eBay images? Like, this is all shit that I don't think has been done, because the people that are working on eBay don't come from an SEO background, but for some reason like to talk about SEO. Like, they would talk about SEO. They will talk about, yeah, you want to be ranking high or ranking for your keywords. I don't think they check where they're ranking. They're just like, yeah, write the title tag and the rest will just work itself out. Like, when I'm ranking in Google, I pay for software a lot of money so that I can track my rankings every single day. I can test what works, what doesn't work. But for eBay, fucking nothing. Fucking nothing. Write out your title tag. Don't have a description or use an AI description. Leaning more towards don't use a description. And you're set. Like, it blows my mind. And every time I hear it, somebody that's talking about eBay SEO and they're a reseller, I just sit there and laugh, because I don't know. Have you ever, in your industry, if you have a 9-to-5, do you ever hear a bullshit person talk about your industry and you just know for a fact that they're all wrong? Like, everything that's coming out of their mouth is wrong. That's what it's like when I hear this shit. Like, I swear to God, next time I hear eBay reseller talk about SEO, I'm going to fucking lose it, right? Like, I guarantee none of them have ever had a page rank number one on Google. And I guarantee they probably have never had an eBay item rank like, I don't know, top 10 in eBay because they wouldn't be tracking it anyway. So, I mean, probably not, yeah, not even number one on eBay because they don't measure that shit. Oh, they're like, nice title, that's your SEO, don't measure anything, does my head in. But anyway, I'd been running this site, getwithsocial.com, for about a year, and it finally took off. I was making a tiny bit of money here and there. You know, an order would come in every, I don't know, once a week. It would start off like that, once a week, and then it would slowly get higher and higher, and it took off. In January of 2012, I took a girl to the ballet. First time, last time too. I bragged during intermission that I had made like $1,000 just sitting there, which was a poor move. It was a poor move. The date went badly. The brag was lame. And despite like a few drunk messages later on, nothing happened, right? So let's fast forward. The site's doing well. We fast forward to the middle of August 2012, okay? I went on vacation in New Zealand. I went with my sisters. I went with my dad. It's one of my favorite places in the world to visit. I hope to retire there one day. The website's set up. I've set it up so it's semi-automated, and that's sort of what I do now with any website that I make, any sort of business that I choose to create and run. I try to like automate it as much as I can, because like if you're trying to make money in this world, you need to be able to make money whilst you're not working on it. You know, you only have so much time in the day. You need to be making money without doing any sort of like work on it. Yeah. Which is why Flip Weekly is like the complete opposite of that. The podcast and the newsletter, they don't make any money. There's no ads. There's nothing like that. And there's also no content without me doing it. So it's the exact opposite of everything that's worked in the past, which is why I sometimes question what the fuck I'm doing. But anyway, I was in New Zealand, and I imagined that like if anything went wrong, I could find like a hotspot in the country. So I went there, had a good time. And on the second week that I was there, I downloaded like my emails in a hotel in Auckland. And the emails that were downloaded were from people, was from a journalist in the press, right? They wanted to do a story on social media marketing. They wanted to do a, they wanted to do a story on social media marketing. They wanted to talk about Facebook likes and all that sort of shit. And the reason they chose me to do that story was because I was ranking in Google at the time as the number one spot. And that was for an extremely competitive keyword. So it really goes to show that like the level of authority that you get, that your business can get just from investing in SEO is fucking massive. Like you're seen as the leader. You're seen as the ones that journalists turn to when they want to comment on an interview. So I answered the email. I gave my thoughts on Facebook likes and social media. Should you be buying them? Should you not be buying them? And I wasn't really expecting much. So I have to mention at this point in time that this publication, it has a readership of like a million people a day, right? I imagine at the time that like the article was going to be like a simple opinion piece, right? No more than a paragraph or two. Turns out it was a front page article, smack bang right in the middle of the website. It would stay in that feature spot for several hours too, which meant that a ton of their readers were going there. And the way that I learned about this, it wasn't because I jumped onto the website. It was because I was walking around the fucking city and I connected to like a bar's Wi-Fi, and my emails are just downloading, and they're fucking in the hundreds. They're in the fucking hundreds. Now, I had traveled from there, from Auckland to the South Island, and I mean, we're talking snow-capped mountains surrounding the fucking place that I was in. Hours away from homes, staying in a hotel that had like no Wi-Fi, and I mean, it was crazy. I mean, this is back in 2012. So I was going through the emails. These emails weren't from people making comments on the article, which they were, but it wasn't from that. These were fucking payments. These were payments. It caught me so off guard, because I mean, we had a busy day planned. I didn't really get a chance to look at all of the emails, but really I needed to get to a computer as soon as possible because I need to process all this shit, right? Like I got to the computer and I saw the headline. It was in the Sydney Morning Herald, big publication here in Australia. And you can still access the article today. I can see it. I can cringe at it. I can see the headline. The headline is "Can't Buy Love Online, Likes for Sale," which is not really off to a good start. There's no way for me to link the article for you, but you can just Google getwithsocial.com and then type in Sydney Morning Herald and you'll be able to find it. I mean, it starts off with, "So says Matthew Carpenter, who is selling likes on getwithsocial.com, a website that ranks, and wait for it, second on Google for by Facebook likes." Now that fucking annoyed me. It was first. I swear to God it was first. I swear to God it was first. The fact that this cunt's put second on Google for by Facebook likes has annoyed me, because it's sort of like immortalized on Sydney Morning Herald that I don't really have the proof anymore that I was number one. I can point to this and say, well, I came second, but I mean, if you're not fucking first, you're last, right, Ricky Bobby? By the way, the reason why I think this person saw that it was second, Google likes to chop and change their rankings constantly. It really depends on the best time of day. Like, there's so much that goes into it. You can wake up one morning and be like third and then go to bed and you're fourth. Really does chop and change like that. I mean, if you're number one though, if you have a solid number one position, you can usually keep it and it's like steady. But I think because this industry was so fucking competitive, because the margins were so high, that it just chopped and changed, man. So the reporter, he goes on, he talks about social marketing, social media marketing. And to be honest, I was fine with the criticism in the article, because I think it's all valid to this day. They talk about, like, you shouldn't really be buying Facebook likes. You should be earning them. You don't want to be paying people to like you. Like, that, you have to be the most uncool kid in school, right? Paying people to like you. But I mean, the thing that I find most frustrating about this article was that the journalist found like a photo on my private Facebook profile, and it had like a couple of high profile people in some of my photos, and they were also running companies in Australia, and that journalist asked those people for comments despite them not like having nothing to do with the topic. But anyway, the main thing that I remember from this conversation with the journalist was him trying to like strong arm me into exposing how this all works. And he laid out a position that was like completely fabricated, yet he was like adamant of the processes, but he was just so wrong. And I just remember thinking, like, as a 20-year-old kid, I don't want to fight back too hard, but like, you are so confidently incorrect. You don't know how this works. I'm not going to correct you. I'm going to tell you my interstitial advertising thing that I was told, but this guy, he had no fucking clue. But on that process, that interstitial advertising, eventually I would come to learn that that wasn't what the suppliers were using. Now, remember, we're on a forum called Black Hat World. Black hat means almost like illegal. You know, you have white hack. You have white hat hackers, which means hackers that are exposing flaws and they're like helping companies fix loopholes and security flaws in their businesses and their websites and their servers and shit. And black hat is doing the same, but doing it for like nefarious or malicious reasons. So we weren't doing any sort of advertising. These suppliers were doing something that we call clickjacking. So, do you remember like when you could visit a website and you could click on like a very, very tiny Facebook like button and you'd like the page of that Facebook page? They were basically doing that, except they were switching out the like button for like customers' orders, and the like button wasn't really visible. When I say it wasn't very visible, it was actually invisible, and you couldn't see the Facebook button at all. But some people, when they're browsing a website, they just click for some reason. They just scroll and click. And turns out, as soon as they clicked that, they liked whichever page was like loaded up into the system. So they didn't really know that they were liking the page. So yeah, user would visit the page, the like button would load in the background, whatever the user clicked on the page, just, yeah, out of habit, muscle memory, whatever, they would like whichever page was loaded up. I mean, it's really fucked up. It explains why some of the customers would, like, receive angry messages from people saying, like, I didn't like this page. And then... I mean, all I could say to those customers of mine before I knew anything about this was just like, well, I guess people are forgetful. They don't realize that they like a page. But afterwards, when I knew that they were engaging in clickjacking, I was like, oh, that explains it, right? anyway, back to the viral article. I still have like the monetary figures. Like, I still have the amount of money I made saved on my computer. And these were the metrics for the month that the article went live and the next 2 months, okay? So in August, man, I'm looking at these numbers and I'm just thinking, like, fuck, if Flip Weekly could do these numbers, that would be great. I'd even be happy if I could make these numbers doing fucking thrifting, okay? In August, Australian dollars, 1,917. However, I got paid in two different currencies, AUD and USD. The USD amount was $18,250. September was $1,490 Australian dollars. USD, $9,350. October, $1,920 AUD. USD was $11,215. So I know the exchange rate today isn't the same as it was back then, but like for the sake of like easy listing, that's the equivalent of like $64,000 in 3 months. $64,157 in 3 months. Now remember, I was 20 years old on a holiday in fucking bumfuck New Zealand. I was in such a remote place that when I went to like a store to ask if I can buy like a USB dongle for the internet, they were like, what the fuck is that? Like, the only way of getting connected to the internet was through an internet cafe, which, do they exist anymore? Anyway, you know what the craziest part of all of this is? Is that after all of this, after all of these figures coming in, huge amounts of money, ranking number one, or number two, if you want to quote that Sydney Morning Herald article, I did something so stupid, man. I started to look for a buyer. Like, it was a combination of not wanting to be in that industry anymore, you know, finding out about the clickjacking, that it wasn't real, not being able to like talk to the press or talk to journalists about doing something positive. It was always like on the defense because nobody wants to buy Facebook likes or buy followers. It just seems pathetic, right? It was a combination of that. And then also just being obsessed with like cashing out large amounts of money. Like, I, for whatever reason, I like that idea. I mean, I think most people would like the idea of cashing out a large amount of money, but yeah, I was obsessed with selling, like building things and then selling them and seeing what the amount of money I would get is. And it's probably been detrimental. It's probably been detrimental to like my financial position over the past like 18, 15 years, whatever. Because I mean, I was selling a website that was making, no joke, over $100,000 a year on autopilot, basically. And I wasn't going to be asking for much money. Like, oh man, I was putting feelers out and I was looking on some of these websites that, were like website marketplaces, like Flippr. There was some other ones out there, like Empire Flippers. These are all websites that you can sell your own website on. And once you tell them like the niche that you're in, what category you're in, like social marketing like this, the multiple of what you can sell it for wasn't very much. It was quite low. And so for a website as a 20-year-old that was making over $100,000, the price that I was told and the price that was what I was going to list it for seemed like an absolute steal because it was $25,000. Now, that doesn't seem like much because, I mean, what was it? In August, I basically made that in a month. And yet I was being told by these, you know, large website marketplaces that it's worth 25 grand. And, you know, I knew a bit, like I was able to get like a number one ranking. I was able to build a website. I was able to do all this shit. But for some reason, I guess I wasn't that confident in the website that I thought $25,000 was going to be like what it's worth. You know, I think just everything culminating in feeling like the niche is shit, that it's sort of like not illegal, but frowned upon. Is clickjacking illegal? I don't know. Just, I think all of that put a real downer on me and my view on the website, that I thought, yes, 25 grand, that's what I'll accept. And not knowing any better, as a 20-year-old, I was, okay, let's do that. And I mean, I don't know, the margins were absolutely insane. And like the rankings were incredible. I was getting so much traffic just from those rankings. So it was quite quickly that somebody got in touch and was like, we want to buy it. So like 3 months after making over 20 grand in 1 month, 60 grand in 3 months, I had contracts drawn up to sell the website for $25,000. That's it. Like saying it out loud now makes me think that I fucking blew that opportunity. And I probably did. I could have sat on it and pulled that, extracted that out from the website over a period of time. But I think I just wanted to get out, man. So I remember drove into Newcastle. I was selling it to a husband and wife who had two kids. They had a mortgage, and they told me that they were either like drawing on the mortgage or remortgaging. Either way, I didn't really understand it. And I actually had to go there with a family member as a witness. I don't know if I was too young. As an adult, 20 years old, you're an adult 20 years old, but for some reason, a family member came, I think, as a witness to sign the documents. And I sat down with them, and yeah, that was that. We signed it all. They gave me $25,000 in a check. I was out the door. I handed over the website. I handed over all the social accounts. I handed over the PayPal information, just all of that shit. I mean, even in the morning that we sat down, I remember telling them, okay, there's like been four orders this morning making like $500. You need to take care of these. And I mean, the profit margin on that $500 was like $400 and something. Like the margins were insane for this fucking thing. But anyway, that is the sort of short story of how I was able to make $60,000 in 90 days as a 20-year-old person. Yeah, it sort of relates to flipping, right? Like, we're buying from a forum, we're reselling to other people, and that's what we're doing here. We're buying from op shops, we're selling on eBay. And I guess, like, 20-year-old Matt, would he be happy that I'm doing this now? Maybe not. Maybe not. Should have been flipping websites more. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. That's it for the podcast. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you like and subscribe. If you're listening to this on YouTube, leave a comment. If you're on Spotify, please give us some ratings, man. Like this, I'm pretty sure this podcast doesn't have a single fucking rating, and yet there's hundreds of you that listen to it every single week, which I appreciate. But I mean, give me something back here, right? Next week, all back to normal. Personal life has really come back, slowed down. Everything's going to be fine. And yeah, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week. Flip, 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 flip